Thanks for listening to the Bellevue Christian Church podcast. We're a church in Bellevue, Pennsylvania, where ordinary people are learning to live everyday life like Jesus. We believe that one way to learn that life is by engaging with an ancient but active collection of books called the Bible every single week. I would say my favorite part is actually the picture of Justin with covered in, like, either cake, shaving cream, I don't know what it is, at some point in the back, so be sure to look for that. That'll be your, where's Waldo, where's Justin? You just got to find him throughout the annual report. And just want to thank you guys for coming. I'm so glad you're here at Vision Sunday. And what this is an opportunity just to look back on what God has done this year. So if this is your first week here, you get to see what you're joining into, and to be a part of where God's leading us this year as well. And we're going to invite you into where we sense that God is taking us in the coming year as well, based on conversations with many of you, with staff and leaders, with our leadership council. And I don't want you to think that Vision Sunday is just me, like Moses, coming off the mountain with vision, you know, just saying, here's where we're going, guys. What I'm trying to do is put into words what I've sensed God doing among us and what I've heard from so many conversations with you as well. So first, just a quick item of business, just so you know, the past couple of weeks we had voting on our annual budget by our members. Just want to say thank you to our members for voting on that. A budget sounds boring, but it's a tool that we use to steward your generosity in the direction of God's vision. We have 114 members at our church, 75 voted on the budget, and of the 75 who voted, all voted unanimously in approval. And so just a good testament to unity as we're moving forward. Just want to say thank you to you for that. And I want to say that this is the first of two vision moments this year. There's this Vision Sunday in January. It's hard to have vision in January. I get it. It's hard to see past clouds. But nonetheless, we're also going to have a second vision moment later in the summer, in August and September, where we're going to talk about where God's leading us in the fall as well. That one's going to be all about the phrase for the good of the neighborhood. And so you have that to look forward to as well. But I want to tell you what this time is going to be all about. So if you have a Bible, you can open up to Ephesians 4:11-13. You can open it up on your phone. You can follow along on the screen. And just leave it open for a bit because we're going to get there. You're going to be like, hey, when's the sermon start? We're going to get there. Trust me. So just leave it open. And we'll walk through a little bit about what that has to do with where God is leading us this year. But first, I want to look back to Vision Night last year. We used to do Vision Night instead of Vision Sunday. But what we found is that lots of people have little kids, and Vision Night is not a possibility. So we've moved it to the morning, where we already have childcare, your kids are already here, just so everybody can be a part and see where God is leading us. And last year in Vision Night, though, I shared about how Julie and I have been renovating our bedroom. And at the time, this is what it looked like. Very comfy and cozy. A window that was behind a wall until we took that wall down and found that window there. And I shared about how our room had looked like this for, I think, probably like a couple of weeks. Julie would probably say a year. You know, it looked like it this for a while. I had started demoing this room, but I had gotten to this point where I got a little stuck, and I didn't really know how to proceed anymore. And I wasn't sure if I needed to demo it further, if I needed to try to rebuild based on where I was at this point. And at this point, I invited my friend Steve Lancer over. He was over for a bit. He had renovated his own house here in Bellevue and knows a lot about this. And we were just talking through it. And he said, Austin, you know, how long do you plan to live here? You're just going to flip it and sell it? And I was like, no, we really want to live here and enjoy it. And he says, well, look, get down to the studs and build the room that you want. He says, go all the way down and then start rebuilding the room that you want. And so I took that and we started to do that. But as I was doing that, it just felt more and more like that's what God was calling our church toward last year, a season where God was calling us to strip down, get all the way back down to the studs, and then begin to rebuild the church that we wanted. And so that's really what we spent the past year really doing. Not just me working on my room, but us beginning to rebuild the church that we want. Not just to get back to the church we had, but build the church that we feel like God is leading us toward now. And so we said there were a couple steps in that. The first one was get down to the studs of the church we had. And so around this time last year, we went from actually two services down to one service. And the reason we did that was just to provide us with some breathing room to say, let's work on this church. Let's make this a church that we really love. Let's do less but better. And so that's what we committed to for a season, to say, not forever, but for a season, to say, let's do one service for a while, just to continue to do less but better and get back down to the studs of the church we had. And then we wanted to say, the second step was to dream up the church we want, to sit down and to begin to think about, you know, my wife, you know, when we're renovating a room, she'll make a mood board. This is what we're looking for. These are the ideas, paint colors, furniture, kinds of things we want on the wall. And that's what we started to do with this as well, with our church. We spent the summer beginning to think about a blueprint for what our church is going to look like. Not just the physical space necessarily, but what does our church feel like? What's going on here? How do people grow? And we introduced some of that in our fall vision series, which was called Your Best Next Step. And what we did in that is we introduced a new mission statement that's going to guide us into the future, and then a new discipleship pathway that's going to guide you toward God's future for you as well, all using Matthew 28. And this is a verse we say at the end of every service. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20 says this: Jesus came near to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And what Jesus is summarizing here is the mission of every church. Right? Every church doesn't get to choose its mission. It's like, this is the mission of every church, to make disciples. And so we put that into our own words. And this is what we say we're all about as a church. And I hope you're sick of hearing it, because I've always heard when people are sick of hearing something, they're hearing you for the first time. And so I hope that you're getting sick of this. But we're a church that's inviting ordinary people to live everyday life like Jesus for the good of the neighborhood. And that's pretty close to what our mission statement used to be, but we added a few words. We added the word inviting onto the front of that because we realized we're not just about who's here, we're about who's not here as well. We want to invite people along the journey with us. And then also, we added for the good of the neighborhood on the back, which I realized recently is very similar to the slogan for Applebee's as well, but nonetheless, ours is a little different, but it's okay. But that's what we're doing. And we realized we didn't want to be just for our own good. We wanted to be for the good of those around us. We wanted to be for the common good of our neighborhood. We wanted to meet needs and make sure that the fact that people are becoming more like Jesus here is good for everybody around us. And so with that, we said, okay, well, how do people grow here? Let's make sure that at our church, there's a clear path so that everybody knows, every leader knows, every person knows, if you want to grow, if you're hungry to be more like Jesus, what does that look like? And so this is our pathway that we've been introducing. Not just we introduced it back in that series, but we hit it all the time. There's a board out in the lobby that tells you how to take each of these steps in the life of our church. But we have four key steps that match up with four things in the life of our church. To find out more about Jesus, in particular through Alpha. Alpha is a course to explore questions you have about Jesus. Next one starts March 15th. Pursue the presence of Jesus. That's really what we're doing on Sundays. Obviously, there are other ways we do that, but Sunday is one of the main ways. Learn to live like Jesus, and that's one of the main ways you do that is with your everyday group. Some of you are leading groups. Some of you have been in groups. I'll share that in a minute. And then join the mission of Jesus, which is with a team, but then also through our partners, and then also in the unique ways that God calls you as well. And we would say if there's a fifth step, and if you're like, whoa, there's a fifth step. I didn't know about the fifth step. You didn't talk about that in your best next step. If there's a fifth step, it's really to invite somebody to do one of those steps with you. What we actually found is when we did the Your Best Next Step survey and helped people find the step that God was calling them to take, some people were already taking all of these steps, and they're like, okay, what do I do? What's next? We realized that there's actually a step over the top of all of these steps, and it's to invite somebody to take a step with you. So we say maturity in the life of our church is taking these steps, but then you're always inviting other people to take a step with you. You're inviting someone to Alpha. You're inviting someone on a Sunday. You're inviting someone to a group, and so on. And we're actually building corresponding versions of this pathway for our kids ministry, our youth ministry, for everyday men, everyday women, so that this begins to shape the life of our church. And I want to share with you, so we set out again to try to say, this is what we want. We want to make sure there's a clear way. This is what it looks like, all of that. I want to give you some good news. First of all, good news, we did finish that bedroom. Here's a picture of that and the huge wardrobe, which last night, by the way, we watched the Chronicles of Narnia with our kids for the first time, and that wardrobe took on a whole new life for them. They were fascinated by it. But this is the room we wanted, right? We're enjoying this room now. We got down to the studs, we said, this is what we want, and we began to get to work on this room. And thanks, just shout out to so many people who came over to help with that over the past year who are much better renovators than me. But you guys did not come to hear an update on my room. So I don't think that's why we're here. Here's the better news, is that our church is making progress toward the church that we want. And it's thanks to so many of you. Thanks to the way you're serving, your ideas, your generosity, the fact that you're inviting people. And that's really what that Anywhere report that you can pick up on your way out is all about. You're getting a digital copy tomorrow. You can find it on our website. That's what it's all about. And I want to highlight just a few pages. Some of the words on these pages are small, but that's because you can go read more about them. But let me just highlight just some things from that pathway for this year that many of you were part of or helped with. But the first one is to find out more about Jesus. And the main way that we do that is through Alpha in the life of our church. And so we launched our first run of the Alpha Course this year. Again, it's a space designed for people to explore questions they have about Jesus while making new friends, eating good food. We had 23 people attend that course. A good chunk of those were people like you from our church who wanted to say, what is this about, so I know what I'm inviting someone to. But then we also had people from outside of our church come to this for the first time as well. I asked one person why he came, and he said, simply because I was invited. If it's important enough for someone to invite me to it, it must be important to them. And so they wanted to come and discover what that was all about. We had 12 people help run the course in some capacity. People like Justin Burke, Maggie Bauman, Courtney McClellan, Mel Garner, Zach Fleckenstein, McKenna Topp, Mike Hopkins, Katie Sosnack, others I'm sure I'm missing. Even our everyday groups got involved. They were bringing food because there's food at every single one of these. I remember this moment when David and Amy Casale showed up with what was simply called the world's best lasagna. Spoiler, it was. So, and I challenge you to make better lasagna next time. You can talk to Courtney about that. I want to say we also saw 12 people get baptized this past year, which is exciting, people of all ages. We asked Megan Johnson, who got baptized this year, why she decided to go forward. We put this quote in the annual report, but she said, I just really wanted to publicly profess my belief in Jesus Christ and commit to continuing my walk with him. She said this, there was a change that happened inside of me while attending this church that pushed me to make that decision to get baptized. She's so glad that she did. That's just one story among many of people discovering and finding out more about Jesus. Also pursuing the presence of Jesus together on Sundays. We simplified to one service for a season, like I mentioned, and we watched as many of you invited friends and family to join you on Sundays. And we know that we've actually seen that, you know, 105 adults has been our average here over the past year, but it's getting beyond that in the past couple of weeks. And we know that because we're continually running out of coffee. Mary Nolan added a fifth pot, and I don't know if that's because you're inviting friends or you have a problem. So I'm not sure which of those it is right now, but time will tell. We'll see what happens. And we're just really excited to see that God is just continuing to just encourage you to invite people, that this is becoming a place where we can pursue the presence of God. We've had powerful moments this year. We had one last week just inviting the Holy Spirit to come. We had one a couple of months ago where we prayed over people with chronic conditions in the life of our church. We hired Justin Langston this year. Round of applause for Justin. And Justin became our worship leader in September. He came up through our church. He did our everyday apprenticeship. And so we got to hire him, and he's equipping other people to lead as well. He's not just the star of the show here. He's equipping other people to lead. We've seen so many kids. It's like just a moment to highlight kids. So many kids pursuing the presence of Jesus together through our amazing kids ministry on Sunday morning. We're constantly having to try to make more room and recruit more people to help with that because you guys keep having babies. So it's a lot of fun. Learning to live like Jesus as well, and through an everyday group or through the Everyday Institute. And we've loved seeing participation in everyday groups take off. We had 5 different everyday groups that met, some of which met throughout the whole year at different times. And shout out just to the leaders of those. You'll see a quote from some leaders in this when you open it up. We've had 60 different people in our church get involved and begin to find new friends and family in the life of the church through these. Just one story real quick. Sarah Kimmler teamed up with Dana Meredith Bucknell to lead an everyday group in Brighton Heights, and she shares in this about how she was going through a challenging season of her life, and just people in her group surrounded her. And I know that's what some of you are craving for, and that's what she was able to find in her everyday group. We also launched the Everyday Habits course this year that we're going to keep doing year to year, or a couple times a year, to help you discover the habits that you're made for. And shout out to Zach McClellan, who spent hours filming and editing the videos with me. He watched way too much of me talking about habits, and just thankful for him. And then finally, the last step, just to highlight a few things from this year, joining the mission of Jesus on a team. We had 108 different people serving on 13 different serve teams throughout our church, giving countless hours, like innumerable amount of hours, so that they're welcoming people at the door, serving in worship and production, kids ministry and youth, safety and security, somewhere else. All over the place, people are serving this church, and we love it. When we asked Henry Trevison about his experience, he said, it's an awesome feeling to do something I love and help create the same atmosphere that welcomed me when I first started coming to this church. And I don't even know how old he was when he first started coming, but now he's on the end of high school, and he's serving our church in some great ways. And we even added a 9:30 huddle on Sunday mornings for all of our volunteers to come together to pray. We just did that this morning, praying for you, praying for this church, inviting the presence of God. And I've just loved seeing you there, seeing you make that a priority. There's a lot more that we could highlight, right? I don't want to just do a highlight reel this morning of God's goodness over the past year, which we just sang about. We could highlight what God is doing in Impulse on Tuesdays and how that's continuing to grow, how God is connecting families through our foster and adoption ministry, new gospel partnerships, the first year of our men's and women's ministry. There's so much more. We couldn't get it all into our annual report, but see that. The reason we create that the way we do is because we want you to see what God has been doing through you and the difference you're making in the life of our church. We're beginning to make progress toward the church that we want, a church that we believe is going to be for the good of the neighborhood. And let me just stoke your vision a little bit for the coming months and years as well. I just want to share again just some things that we'd love to see, some dreams that we have. None of these dreams even really have timelines at this point, but just some dreams that we have. First of all, you know, we're going to continue to run Alpha. We heard that it takes three times through Alpha to get good at it, 3 years to make it part of our culture. We're running our next one on March 15th. I've already heard from some of you who are inviting friends and family to be part of that, and I love that. We want to continue to see BCC become known as a place where people can ask questions in this city. We would love to see our church become a place where other churches in the city send people to learn how to run Alpha at their church, and so that we can see even more churches doing something like this. And we'd love, as well, when it comes to finding out more about Jesus, to create and launch initiatives that are for the good of the neighborhood, that even unbelievers in our neighborhood can say to our church, thank you for doing this, thank you for doing these different things. And we're going to talk more about that later this summer. Or pursuing the presence of Jesus. Let me just stoke again your imaginations a bit. As we're continuing to work on creating a service that really creates space for us to encounter Jesus. A couple other things. We want to keep creating a culture where we're inviting the Holy Spirit, that what we did last week isn't just like, oh, remember that one time, but it's all the time. It's something that we're creating in the life of our church. Or just as we started to make some aesthetic changes here and there that you'll start to notice, we'd love to eventually reimagine even this whole building on how God is using this building to serve our mission for future generations. And maybe, and even probably sooner rather than later, we'd love to launch back into multiple services, because there are times where it is literally difficult to find a seat in this church, and because you're inviting friends and family and we want to make room for them to be here. And then when it comes to learning to live like Jesus as well, 5 everyday groups is not enough for our church. We want to see enough groups in the life of our church that there's one for everybody. And just like we built the Everyday Habits course, we want to keep building and launching more Everyday Institute courses in the coming years, starting with day one later this year, taking it from a teaching series to a course. That's just a little bit. That's the beginning of some of the things that we're starting to dream about. A lot of that's not set in stone. If you ask me for a date on some of those things, I'm like, I don't know. We're still in the dream mode of what it looks like. It's just some of the potential that we believe is possible for what God wants to do through our church in the coming season. But as I was just stoking vision, you might have noticed I left off a part of our pathway. The last piece, that join the mission of Jesus part of our pathway. And the reason I left that off is because that's what we're going to focus on now. That's where we believe God is leading us next. That's what we think 2023 is all about. And here's why. We think that if we get this part of the pathway wrong, joining the mission of Jesus, it doesn't matter how much vision we have for everything else. We could have all the vision in the world for what God can do with through our church. But until we get it right when it comes to helping people join the mission of Jesus, we're going to be limited in our potential. So if you haven't already, look now at Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. Listen to what Paul writes to a church in the ancient city of Ephesus. It says this, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Everybody say equipping the saints. Equipping the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with the stature measured by Christ's fullness. In this passage, as I kept thinking about, well, how do we put into words what we feel like God is doing among us this year, I kept coming back to this passage. This was actually the very first passage that I preached on when we started young adults ministry over a decade ago. When the first sermon I ever preached in this building was on this passage. And the next week, 75% of the people that were there didn't come back. So we're going to see what happens here as well. But there's three things. There's three things that Paul tells us in this passage that are essential for us to get right if we're going to move toward any of the things we just talked about. We have so many dreams that we think God has placed on our hearts, and we've even heard from you some of your dreams as well. So many dreams of what we believe the next couple of years could look like for our church. But we have to get these three facts right, which come right out of this passage. And the first fact is this, is that Jesus gives the leaders, Jesus gives the leaders. He gives us leaders. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, we're told that Jesus gives some to be what? He says to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, or shepherds and teachers, depending on your translation. Some people say that those are what's called the leadership giftings, leadership giftings that God gives to the church so that the church can be led. And just like any organization, a church needs and can't function without leadership. And these different gifts that he lists out here, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, all of these represent different things that leaders bring to the table in whatever leadership role that they have. They're gifts that we've seen in some of our leaders as well. This is a picture of our leaders at Maxwell's Pizza right here in Bellevue last weekend. We got all of our leaders together, staff and volunteers, just for a leadership retreat to just begin to imagine and dream about where God is leading us this year and to introduce some of this vision to them as well. And these are some of the leaders who provide day-to-day leadership in the church. It kind of fades toward the background to get smaller and smaller, but just, and not everybody was able to make it, but there's people like Isaac and Talia and Justin, Emily, Carolyn, Naomi, Jada, Brian, Stev, Julie, Amanda, Ed, Dakota. All of these people are bringing different gifts to the table that are helping us lead this church. And I love beginning to hear some of their dreams, some dreams they've heard from volunteers in their ministries as well. We also have a leadership council. I don't have a picture of them. That brings some of those gifts to the table as well. People like in 2023, Ed Hain and Josh Hoy and David Nusser and Graham Johnstone. But what I want you to notice is what these leaders are called to do. This passage isn't about the leaders. I want to highlight that for a minute, that Jesus gives us leaders, but notice what leaders are called to do. It says this: leaders are called to equip the saints. The whole job of a leader is to equip the saints. The core of every leadership job description in the church is to equip the saints. No matter what the leadership gifting is, the leader is called to equip the saints. Leaders equip, have I said it enough? Leaders equip the saints. What's the point of a leader? To equip the saints. That's what this passage says. Whether a leader is staff or volunteer or members of our council, they are called to equip the saints. And so let's break down what that means. Let's break down the word equip really quick. If you're equipping someone with something, you're supplying them with everything they need to fulfill a particular purpose. We're going to talk more about that purpose in just a minute. But you're supplying someone with everything they need to do a particular purpose, whether that's with knowledge or skills or resources or relationships. You're giving somebody what they need to fulfill a purpose. I told this story before, but when I was in college, I had the great idea to bike from my college in Illinois to my house in Pittsburgh. And we calculated it out. We're like, I think this is possible. What we didn't put in our calculations was that March was still winter. We did it anyways, and we were ill-equipped in many ways for this, but we were a little bit better equipped because before the trip, we met up with my friend Daniel's dad. My friend Daniel's dad owned a bike shop, and so we went to Daniel's dad's bike shop. We said, hey, we're gonna ride our bikes from Illinois to Pittsburgh. And he's like, okay, what kind of bikes do you have? And we told him, he's like, okay. And we don't have money for better ones. He's like, all right, okay, what do you have money for? And so we just explained how much we had and what we could do. He's like, all right, you need to get equipped with a few things. So he's like, you're going to need better seats. Otherwise, you're never going to walk again. He's like, you're going to need padded like bike shorts. We're like, all right, we'll get those. You know, there's a couple other things he said. And then he also said, you guys know how to change a chain? We're like, I don't know. Do chains ever break? He's like, yeah, they break a lot. So we're like, all right, let me teach you how to, I'm going to give you a tool, and I'm going to teach you how to change this chain. So he shows us how to change a chain and how to fix if there's a broken link on it or something like that. He's like, is this going to happen? So you need to know how to do this. And he gave us a couple of other things. Well, he told us how to change a tire, gave us a little tool. We're like, I don't know. We didn't expect to get flat tires over 500 miles, but we're like, surely. And he taught us how to do that. What was he doing? He was equipping us because we were very ill-equipped for what we were about to do. He was equipping us for the journey ahead. We had a purpose. The purpose was to get from Illinois to Pittsburgh, and he was equipping us with what we needed to get there. And then he abandoned us and sent us on our way. And it didn't help us. We were still very ill-equipped, but we made it to Canton, Ohio. I still have what's the opposite of a soft spot? I have a hard heart toward Canton, Ohio, because it ended my bike trip with snow. But nonetheless, my dad picked us up, got us the rest of the way. But what he did was equip us for the journey ahead. And who are we equipping? It says leaders equip the saints. Saints is Paul's go-to word, not for people like Teresa and Francis. Saint is Paul's go-to word for people like you. Now, if your name is Teresa or Francis, it applies as well. But it's Paul's go-to word for you. Our women's study is going through the book of Ephesians right now. And at the very beginning of Ephesians, he says, to the saints in Ephesus. he's writing to the saints, which aren't just like, hey, to the holiest among you in Ephesus. No, he's saying to you, anybody who believes in Jesus, who's been filled with the Spirit, to the saints in Ephesus, I'm writing to you. And here he says again that phrase to now equip the saints. That's what they're supposed to do. So saints aren't just specific people throughout history with names like Francis and Teresa who have done amazing things. Although sometimes it's helpful to put saint before names like that so that we have heroes in the faith. But when Paul uses the word, he's actually talking about believers like us. I want you to turn to your neighbor. We don't do this a lot, but I want you to turn to your neighbor. I want you to introduce yourself for just a second. Say, hello, my name is. But then I want you to put saint before your name. All right, everybody do that for just a minute. Say, hello, my name is. Introduce yourself. Now, turn the other way. Do it to the other person. Hello. All right, that's enough. I don't want you guys to get too big of a head today on saint stuff. But listen, okay. God says, Jesus gives the leaders. Leaders do what? They equip the saints. And what do the saints do? This is the last part. Saints do the work. This doesn't mean that leaders are just managers who don't do any of the work, but saints and leaders do the work together. Saints do the work. What do the leaders equip the saints to do? He says the work of ministry. And what does he say is the work of ministry? He breaks it down next. He says to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. How many of you have ever been reading the Apostle Paul and be like, could you just say that in a simpler way? Because what he just said, Paul has this way, even Peter, right, in one of his letters, he's like, by the way, Paul's sometimes hard to understand. And when you're reading this, you're like, what are you trying to say? All Paul is doing is putting some theological oomph to what Jesus says when he says just simply, the work of ministry is to make disciples. That's what this is about. That's what he's highlighting here. What's the work of ministry? It's to help people grow up in the knowledge of God's Son and into maturity measured by Jesus' fullness. What's that saying? To make disciples of Jesus, people who are learning from him how to live like him. And as we've already talked about, we have a pathway for that here. We're doing what we can to make that possible. We're helping people find out more about Jesus, pursue the presence of Jesus, learn to live like Jesus, join the mission of Jesus. That's our answer to what does ministry look like? What does it look like to make disciples? First and foremost, those four things. But now let me tell you where we often get this wrong. Here's what often happens. In a lot of churches, what often happens is that we leave the responsibility of ministry, the responsibility of making disciples, to the professionals. No matter what a church's pathway is, what often happens in churches, especially as they grow, you start to leave it to a few core leaders who are sometimes paid to do this on staff. And so we read this text, and instead of seeing it as God gives these leaders to equip the saints for the work of ministry, we say, okay, God has given these people to, and then we skip the saints, and we say, to do the work of ministry. That these are the people, and they do all the work, and we sit back, and we watch them do the work, and see, and we just say, thank you for doing the work. We appreciate all the work we're doing. And often, here's what I want to say, this is the leader's fault. This is the fault of people like me. Sometimes I think my role as a leader is to do everything. And I forget that my actual job description is written right here in Ephesians. It's not to do everything. It's not to do all the work of ministry. It's to equip all of us, to equip the saints to do the work. But often what ends up happening is that leaders end up being the primary people who are running everything, instead of the people who are equipping everybody else to do the work. And this is wrong. This passage doesn't say that's what leaders are supposed to do. It says leaders equip the saints to do what? To do the work of ministry. It doesn't mean they're not doing any work. It just means that their primary work is to equip others to do the work, to equip others to run things like our Alpha course, to equip others to run a lot of what happens on Sunday morning, to equip others to run everyday groups throughout the week, to equip others to run different teams that we have. And when we get this wrong, this is why God keeps bringing this back to us. When we get this wrong, we end up limiting the potential of our church. Some of you are like, I like our church the way it is, so what is that thing about limiting potential? How do we do that? That what ends up happening is we end up limiting the potential of our church, but what we want to do is unleash its potential. And if we're going to unleash its potential, if we're going to see some of those things we're dreaming about in the coming years, it's not going to start with more, you know, just hiring more people necessarily to do more of the work. What it's going to say is how can those who are leading this church, whether as a staff or volunteer or whatever, how can we equip you to do the work of ministry? God never said, reserve the work of ministry for a few people. God said, unleash it and equip others to do it. And that's what we want to do. Jesus gives the leaders. Leaders equip the saints. Saints do the work. And if we're ever going to close the gap between where we are and where we want to be as a church, this is what we have to get right. Let me tell you, I wanted to skip this step. I wanted to go right to for the good of the neighborhood. I wanted to say, like, let's talk about this. We're going to do some initiatives. We're going to do some things. We're going to add a service. I wanted to get right to that. But it just kept coming back to just getting a pulse on the room, just paying attention to what God is speaking through you and through different leaders, is that it's not that time. That time's coming soon. But the first thing we have to get right is this, is to be a church that's dedicated to equipping the saints. And so with that in mind, that's what this year is all about, equip the saints. We want to just let that be our theme. I want that you to get tired of that. I want you to be so annoyed with that phrase that you'll say, okay, equip me already. I'm tired of hearing it. Do whatever it takes. We want to say that over and over. We want to make it as easy as possible for you to not just join the mission of Jesus, but to find your place in the mission of Jesus, and even to rise to greater capacities and levels of leadership in the mission of Jesus. And this is actually a continuation of last year's vision. I know all of you are familiar with all the steps I listed out at Vision Night last year. But the third step, after getting down to the studs of the church we had, after dreaming up the church we want, the third step was actually to recruit. I should have put equip. To equip the labor we need. To see whatever it takes to help people then begin to take ownership of what we do as a church. Just to give you just a high-level view, I don't want to get too into this today, into the weeds, but I just want to give you the ABCs of how we're going to do this year. And literally, it's ABC, and I'm very proud of this. So first thing is to, we want to apprentice some of you as leaders. We want to apprentice some of you as leaders. We know God is not calling everybody to be leaders. Some of you are like, please, for the love of God, don't make me lead anything. I'm happy on a team. We get that. But we know that God is calling some of you to greater levels of leadership. You're already serving on a team, and we want to see how can we continue to raise you up into a greater level of leadership. We know that God has given lots of leadership gifts out in this church, and we want to discover those through the Holy Spirit. We want to unleash you. We need people in all different kinds of areas of our pathway where we have some missing leaders, from our alpha leadership team to our host team to our production team. In our everyday groups, we want to see leaders start apprenticing some more group leaders so that as the Spirit leads, people can start additional groups or take over those groups. We want to start apprenticing people on how to lead an Everyday Institute course. We want to see people joining our business team with Carolyn Folletta, our kids ministry leadership team with Talia Ames. There's so many more leadership opportunities, but that's one of the things we want to pay attention to, is apprenticing some of you as leaders. We also want to build a team culture that you love. We know that sometimes serving in a church or any organization can feel like a drag. It feels like something you guilted into. You said yes one time to being a host at the door, and you're like, okay, I guess I'm here for 20 years now. And we get it. Like, we want to just let you know, first of all, you always have freedom to move around, but we want to build a culture that you love to be a part of. So that even when you're serving at other nonprofits or serving at other places, you're like saying, you got to learn something from what we're doing at Bellevue Christian. Can I tell you about something that helps me just love what I do there? And help you just see the difference that you're making. And so we want to build a team culture that you love to be a part of. And so many of you are already volunteering, and we want to make just more enjoyable experience for you. And you're like, I'm already getting all the joy in the world. That's great. Let's take some of that joy, and let's give it to other people as well. The last thing is this, is to call all of you then into the mission of Jesus. So apprentice some of you as leaders, build a team culture that you love, and call all of you into the mission of Jesus. And many of you are already serving. Like, I look out and I just see a bunch of people who are already serving, which is awesome. The point of today is not to say, now serve more. Like, that's not really what I'm getting at, because I know you're limited. You're trying to say, where's my sweet spot? How can I give as much as I can right there? But there are others who maybe haven't joined into what God is doing yet. We want to invite you in to be a part of that team that's moving the mission forward. You might feel like there's no way God could use you because you feel underqualified. You're like, I got kids right now, or I got these things going on, or I had a bad experience over here. But we believe that God's called all of you to join his mission in unique ways. And what I want to say is this last one isn't just on the leaders. As I said earlier with the discipleship pathway, the best, and this is, research shows this, that the main reason that people join teams is because somebody on that team invited them in. The most, when somebody loves what they're doing, they invite somebody else to be a part of that team. Not just the leader, not me saying from the front, we need more people. It's when somebody invites someone in. So if you're on a team, even you're going to be a part of it. Say, how can you invite others to join this with you? One of our favorite quotes that we share a lot from a guy with a sweet name, Elton Trueblood, says it this way. He says, if you want to make a difference, here's a clear way. Make all within your society members of the crew and permit no passengers. What we want to be is a church where we're constantly raising up people's leadership capacity. We want to equip you to do the work of ministry, to make disciples. And I'm going to be honest, we're still working through what this looks like. We're still working through strategy and how are we going to help you do this and make this possible. So I don't have like a big like 10-point plan beyond this, or here's all our numerical goals or any of that kind of stuff. But I do have one story just of how we're already starting. And I want to highlight just Courtney McClellan. She didn't know I was going to do this, but it's going to give a highlight to Courtney real quick. Courtney ran our food team this past season, and our food was legendary for Alpha. And she got Chipotle the first week. It was amazing. Some of you are like, I'm signing up for Alpha now that I know what's going on. And it was clear to everybody there and everybody involved that she showed lots of leadership potential. So a few weeks, we called her up, and we said, hey, we just noticed that you did a great job leading that food team, and we think you're capable of showing even greater leadership. And so we just want to invest in you. So we said, hey, can we send you to a masterclass all about Alpha just to see if that's something you might be interested in, just continuing to help us lead? And I'll be honest, I fully expected an answer that was like, no, I'm kind of busy, or there's a lot going on, or, you know, I'm a young mom, all these kinds of things. But she said, yeah, I'm in. You know, actually, I had to, like, slow her down. I was like, wait a day, give me a second. You know, but she was so ready to roll and just to be equipped to do the work of ministry. And I pray, my prayer is that that's not the only story. I want to see God continuing to raise up more people that we continue to equip for the work of ministry. I want to see lots more conversations being had between leaders and team members that are saying, we believe in you. We see your potential. We want to unleash it as much as we can. And so again, some of you are already on the mission of Jesus. And I just want to encourage you to begin to ask the Lord, where is God calling me to greater capacity? Maybe you don't even feel like you're on the right team, and you feel like you need to be on a different team. We want to support that and help you find the right team. Some of you have never joined the mission of Jesus yet. We have it. It's really easy. There's a card on the way out on our Best Next Step board, and you just scan the back, and it will list out all the teams in our church, all those different teams. You can see them and figure out how to join one of those teams. You can even say, I don't know what team to join. Just see where you can use me, and we can try to help you find the best spot. But as we close, the most important thing we can do is pray. Begin to pray that God will unleash greater potential in the life of our church. Begin to pray that God will raise up greater leaders in the life of our church. Begin to pray that more of us will step up and join into God's mission in the coming season. Here's what Jesus says about this in Matthew chapter 9. He says there's no shortage of potential. Listen. He says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant. He says there's no harvest problem. He says there are plenty of people who want to follow Jesus. He says, there's no harvest issue. He says, but what? The workers are few. He says, therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. And that's how we want to close. Is we want to begin to just gather together and just begin to pray and plead with God to raise up more. Because we believe the harvest is plentiful. We believe that God wants to save some of your friends and family. We believe God wants to see some of your neighbors come to know and love him. We believe God wants to see some of your coworkers sitting next to you on a Sunday morning, not just throughout the week. We believe that that's possible, but Jesus says, what's the answer? He says, praying to the Lord of the harvest that God would continue to send out and equip more for the work of ministry. So here's what we want you to do. In groups of like five or six, just turn around in a couple of groups. Just want you to begin to pray that prayer. Ask the Lord to raise up more. Ask the Lord maybe a personal prayer, Lord. Say, Lord, I don't know what God is calling me to do, but Lord, reveal that to me this year. Show me my place in the mission. And so right now, for 5 minutes or so, while the worship team just plays before we head back into worship, circle up in groups of five. It's going to be less awkward if you just get somebody starts. Circle up in groups of five and just begin to pray for that together. Some of you in that group, you just don't know how to pray, and that's okay. Those of you who do know how to pray, just start praying. Don't spend a lot of time chatting about it. Just begin to lift up and ask the Lord. Pray this phrase over our church.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast for a new teaching from us every single week.